We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you have showed unto us again this morning. Thank you for bringing us into a new order. Father, we say after thanks in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit divine, we ask in the name of Jesus, in this atmosphere, your word will come with power in the name of Jesus. Your word will go as a double-edged sword. It will heal the sick, deliver the oppressed. It will clear wrong mindsets. It will break every stronghold. And your name alone be praised. We take authority in this atmosphere and we say that the enemy has no space in this place. Let your word find access. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Amen. So, once again, I want to celebrate the alumni fellowship of Ayah Grand Baptist Church on their 10th year anniversary. Let's celebrate Jesus together for them. Hallelujah. It's a testament that God has been good. The testament that God has been good. And that there is progress. And God is evidently working in our midst. Let's just get straight into the word. The theme for the alumni week is the new order. The new order. And as I kept ruminating and thinking, Lord, what do you want to say in the new order to your people? What is this symbol? What does world, or who will this new order represent in the lives of your people? And as I was thinking over it, I was supposed to take a session yesterday and then take another session today, but decided to just cram it up into one so that the word will come in that complete fold. And the only word I heard was David. Just kept saying to me, David, David, David. So I started to go back and look at what exactly about David that we need to see that will bring God's people, firstly the alumni fellowship, by extension to the old church. Because what he says to one, he says to all. What is the Lord saying to us for this year? So we journey together into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17.
Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh Lord. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life.
Can you sing it and say personally to yourself?
Do something new. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life.
From verse 1. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socor, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socor and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servant of Saul? Choose the man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. We'll stop there, and then as we progress, we'll read further. In new order. First, let's look at, there's no need defining anything called new, because new is new. But what is important about this is that it's a new order. So the order there may need some bit of explanation or interpretation so that we can get the context of what this alumni reunion theme is about. So I went to find out what exactly the word order means in context, because order means different things according to its usage. But in the context of the alumni, you know, what exactly does the word order mean? And my findings were interesting. First, it says orders or order is a rank, a class, or a special group in a community or society. A rank, a class, or special group in a community or society. It goes further to say a class of persons or things grouped according to quality, value, or natural characteristics, such as their rank or level. When I saw this, I knew that we are in for something. Because when we say we are coming to a new order, that means, or we are bringing a new order, it means that we cannot operate in the normal way at all. That means that something needs to change. So, what is this definition of order telling us invariably? What is this saying to us? Number one, is that because of this theme, there is a new class of people arising who are different from the rest. Meaning that saying that it's a new order for us does not just start with what is going on around us. It starts with those who are saying that it's a new order for them. So it means that there's a new class of people arising who are different from the rest. That is to say that wherever we find ourselves as those who have come into a new order, there should be a distinction between our lives and the lives of other people. Our results should be different. Our disposition should be different. The way we do things should be different. When we do things and other people do things, what should come out or the kind of results we should have should be different. Number two, what is this saying to us invariably from this definition? It means that there is something special about them that gives them an edge amongst other people. There is something special about them that gives them an edge amongst other people. In the world today, it is easy for people to blend, but it is not easy to stand out. The place where it is easy for people to blend is crowded. The place where people stand out, there is a lot of vacuum there. What God wants to do with us, or what God wants us to take away from here, is something special. We thank God for how He has started with us in the course of the week. I mean, we have heard different words from God telling us about what this new order is. So when we go back out there to go and bring a new order, what will be the distinction about our lives when we get out there? What will we say is the new order that we are bringing that people will notice? Because when a new government came in, let me start with that so that we can know that this new order is something that everybody should feel. 2023, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu was inaugurated as the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I don't need to announce it, but what was the first announcement on the first day? The removal of fuel subsidy. How many of us felt it? Everybody felt it, but does he need announcement that, ah, Shema, what is your service to Disha? Do you have to tell somebody and say, ah, first of the Cyclone Bell? No. Everybody felt the impact of the removal of that fuel subsidy. There was no need for too much announcement. Even if you didn't hear it on radio, at least when you go to go and buy fuel, or you try to pay for transportation, show me. They will make a reference. Hey, what's your you would know it one way or the other, that's something. So that shows that a new order came in, a new regime came in. Somebody came in that did something that affected the lives of the general populace. So as you are going back saying you are going with a new order, what is the special effect that comes with you that will be tangible and people will be able to notice that something has happened? This is the kind of effect that we as believers must carry into every sphere that we find ourselves. That we are saying we are going with a new order, a different aura, a different approach, a different mindset, a different result that is undeniable among people. This third one I like so much is the second part of the last part of the definition. What does this new order mean? It means that there is so much quality and value that these people have to offer that it is not easily gotten or replaceable. There is so much value and quality that these people have to offer that is not easily gotten or replaceable. Believers must begin to become scarce commodities that is readily available. Meaning that the kind of value that we bring to the organizations, the kind of value that we bring to the people around us, to our family, to our church, to the community, to the society, the kind of value that we should bring should be quality and valuable. You see, everything that we come in to get in church must be easily translatable into something tangible when we get out there. Was it Pastor Kwaju we were listening to us sometime 2 weeks ago? I mean, in particular, I can't even remember the conference now. I can't even remember exactly who was saying it. I can't think it was Lake Hall that I was saying that church is on Sunday. It is from Monday that you start practicing church. Meaning that if we come to come and learn a new order during this week,
What will be the resultant effect after we have left the conference? What will happen that there will be this note? Some that people will note and say, there is something different that is happening here that did not used to happen. Or a new energy that is coming from somebody that we didn't used to see before because somebody went somewhere and then entered into a new order. I said to bring that new order into wherever they found themselves. So back to the scripture that we read today. I will combine what I was supposed to speak on yesterday and combine it with today. Before we say we are coming into new order, there are those who are held bound. Whenever I preach on any subject that talks about the new, I don't quickly rush to delve into the new, because I know that the new does not come in if the old is not done away with. You would find Jesus repeating this, that would you sow an old wineskin with a new wineskin? Or would you put new wine into an old wineskin? Or would you sew an old garment and put it together with a new one? He says, no, it can't work. That means that every time that a new wants to come in, the old must first be done away with. We can shout new all we want. If the old is not done away with, what will eventually happen is that whatever new thing you enter will be wasted because the old was not dealt with. Newness doesn't just come if something is not giving way. When you look at the process of metamorphosis for a caterpillar and they want to change their skin, they will rent away the old. You see the process of an eagle reinvigorating itself. They will have to break off their old beak so that a new one can come out. They will break off the old claw so the new one can come out. But there are a lot of times as believers we want to grasp to something new and we are not letting the gold go away. So when I got that understanding, I knew what God was saying from this scripture. And I'm going to talk about three things that we must do away, that I think I'm bringing to us, that we must do away with for us to be able to enter into the new order. So this story is a story of the children of Israel. They were going to battle against the Philistines. And I like the way that place started. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. That's from verse 1. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and dropped in battle array against the Philistines. Verse 3, very significant. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. I want to rest in that place for a while. Where does battles really occur? On the mountains or in the valley? But how come in the days where they were camping to go to war, the two armies chose to stay on different mountains? I don't see people who go to war and it's on the mountain they are going to go and stay. Except they want to do a kind of covert attack. To do a surprise attack, maybe to rain down stone or to just... But then they camped and it was visible. They camped on mountains. That is to let us know that, see, entering into a new order means that as a believer, you are on one mountain and there is another mountain on the other side that you will need to go ahead to go and conquer. Don't think entering the new order is going to be very easy. Don't think the other mountain is just waiting for you to come and bring a new order. The same way it is that you want to enter an organization and you want to go and stop bribery and corruption. They will fight you tooth and nail to ensure that other stays. Because from anything that you see going on as corruption, there are those benefiting from it. And there are those ensuring that those things does not move. So it's a battle of mountains. They camped on mountains. So whoever wins is the one that possesses the mountains. And this is the same way, the same thing that God was referencing in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. That in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be set above every other mountains. That is to say that, you see, you must start on the mountain of the Lord if indeed you want to conquer other mountains. They stood there and they were about to fight. And they were, do you know what it takes to climb a mountain? If they want to fight, they will have to first come down from the mountain to go and fight. Or do you jump from one mountain to the other? I mean, you don't jump mountains. You climb up and you need to still climb down again. But why did they have to go up on the mountain? It was because this was not just a battle of who has the best sword. I will show you later. It wasn't just a battle that you would just glance over, because you see, I watch a lot of all these arcade movies where they use sword and this thing. I don't think I have ever seen any of them where they camped on mountains before. When I wait. They camped on a mountain. That means there is more than we are seeing. And you will see it when David and Goliath began to have conversations and they were talking. You know this. Oh, let me not get ahead of myself. So that I'll be able to deal with some of the issues of how you can break out of the old order and then how you can enter into the new. That is chapter 2 and verse 2 says, now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the other mountains. That's a new order coming in. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Verse 3. Say, many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the pursuit of the new order, there must be a confrontation and the surmounting of the old orders. Nobody wants to accept the new order easily. Especially the world that we are in today, they won't want to accept the new order easily. So you have to confront them. So what are these old orders that we must confront? Let's read verse 4. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. We'll just rest there for a while. And a champion went out from Gath. His name was Goliath. When they talked about Goliath, they talked about his track record and everything that he had done in the past that made him Goliath. Goliath was not just his name. Goliath was everything that made him. They said he was 6 cubits and a span. That was very, very huge. We were watching a cartoon. I can't remember. I think before you came for the decision that they are my children, they were watching David and Goliath. And I was telling them, see, Goliath is a tolele, and all this AI animated him, this thing. I mean, the way Goliath was, I can't even try to describe it. Goliath was like the height of this, his leg to his now, like, but yes, Goliath was very huge. The Bible says Goliath had been a man of war from when he was young. They talk about his weaver's spear, talk about his spear, talk about his shield, everything. What was this trying to point us to? Was that Goliath had a track record that whoever wanted to defeat Goliath will have to consider all of these things and give himself brain before he goes to battle with Goliath. So they told us the track record of Goliath. And God said to him that for everybody that wants to first break out of the old order, you must leave those things that looks as though they are your past victories. You must do away with them. That's number one thing that you must do away in your old order. Your past victories. Things that you think that were at your track record. I graduated with a first class. I know how to do this. These are my wins. These are the best things I know how to do. You must first come out of those your past victories. The reason some people never make headway or make progress in life, because they come to a point where they feel as though they have arrived and they have come there thinking that is the best that they can achieve. I am here to announce to you that your best is not yet seen. But if you will want to move ahead, you must first, like Apostle Paul said, I forget everything that I've learned behind. The Apostle Paul said, I count them all as dung. Since I am a Jew, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Talk about the law, I am very vast. from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm going to talk about all his past achievements. But he said, you know what? For me to be able to touch the excellency of Christ, I must first forget all of those things and put them behind me. If you are going to enter into a new order, the past victories that you have had, the past money that you have made, that you thought was the best, and you thought that that's the highest you can make, you must do away with that and think that, see, this one is good, but I must move on. There's not a new target for me. There are a lot of times we camp around the things that are like, because we are happy when we talk about it. You know, when people talk about, in the days when I used to be in LaTeX, when I lit up the microphone and I sing, people are under the anointing. The atmosphere is charged. And they will be talking about the days. What about now? For you to enter the new order, you must first forget the past victories. Yes, they are good, but they are only good for a while. The future still waits. The new order still waits. If you don't forget those things, you will always remain. That will be the highest you will ever be. Past victories. I used to be this. I used to make this. I made this in the past. What about now? What are you making? What about now? What are you doing? Your greatest hindrance to your next best is your last best. The greatest hindrance to your next best is your last best. We get to a point where we are so comfortable with what we have achieved, and we feel as though there is not a more that can be achieved. Because we like that feeling of winning. And then when we have that singular victory, we want to reminisce, we want to enjoy that moment for a long time. And they keep praising you for that past victory until you find out that others have already beaten your record. What you have learned so far, that especially what Guinness World Record have taught us, is that records don't last for too long anymore. Like I shared with them a particular time, when this issue about food came on board. Yudabasi came, jelly, kukaton. I'll be out there, call it. The girl has not even received the award. She has not received the award, sir. Somebody already came. Now, I want to do, how many hours did she do, Ghana? I think she's 48, I've been cooking. She did 100 hours. Somebody came and said, you will do 200 hours. I'll be how many hours? I said, like 2 days in between. I'm like, wait, at least let her enjoy the moment. See, that is the way it is with past victories. So that's the way it is with past victories. That people, you want to remember. See, the world is not waiting for anybody. The world is not waiting for everybody. Once they see that you are victorious, everybody is looking for what to do to make sure that you are not the reigning champion. That's what the world is looking for. That's why you can't afford to come too long. There is so much for you to still be covered. How long will you stay at this point, knowing there's so much more victory ahead of you? We have won, we thank God for that. You have made that millions, we thank God for that. But is there a more you can still make? You must first forget the past so that you can enter into the new order that God has ordained for you. Somebody say amen. You didn't come this far to settle for less. How do you overcome this issue of past victories? Just one antidote. Cast a bigger vision. Cast a bigger vision. I made my first million, make it 5. My business grew. Buy more stocks. I made my first sale in millions. Pursue more millions. My shop grew large. Think bigger. Buy a land. Think bigger. Don't camp at that level best and think that's the best that could arrive from your life. I'm bringing it to a challenge to everybody, but especially to the alumni. Because there is so much more. The prophecy over you is great. But you can't camp too long at that level if you will really press on to reach the end that God has ordained for you. It didn't bring you that far for you to settle at that point. There is so much more. Number 2. What must you overcome which are hold others? We quickly run to verse 8 of that same scripture. So after they described Goliath, the Bible says, then he stood. That's from verse 7. Okay, let's see from verse 7. He said, now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went before him. Now verse 8, my emphasis. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servant of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Just underline that place, servant of Saul. I will still come back to it later. But this was Goliath. He stood and said, see, no one is going to say, okay, no, let me know. You are a man, I'm a man. Come, let's fight. No, you've seen two conductors or conductor and driver. And they begin to roll sleeve. Like, let's see who are the strongest bones among us. Say, so be a man. Come out and fight. You are all warriors. You claim you are Israelites. Come out and fight. Say, buddy. Says, am I not a Philistine and you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Number two that you must do away with in this as a old order for you to enter into the new order is intimidation. Intimidation. Some people will never, and under my statement, will never take giant steps because of the voices that they consistently listen to that seem as though they have gone ahead of them. You must know that wherever you find the voice of intimidation, it is the voice of the enemy. Some of us pay attention too much to what others are doing that we never take a bold step of our own. Goliath knew what he was doing. He knew that wherever there is the battle of words, it is the person that can speak more that wins eventually. Some of us stay too much in an environment where the words that we constantly hear or the things we constantly hear put us into a place of intimidation. We never see ourselves much more than what we are today because we are always intimidated. Because there's a particular guy in the office that always meets his target every month. And whenever you hear, like somebody was sharing yesterday, that the person was meeting targets in millions every year. Who says that you cannot be the next one that will take over? So some of us, we just look at the mountain ahead of us and say, 5 million targets for this month. How will I touch it? And because of that, you don't even try to pursue to even reach million. Just say, whoa. It is not because you cannot pursue that target, but because you know that there is somebody there who has the track record of collecting that best person in meeting targets. You just relax. That's the voice of intimidation. And I pray every voice of intimidation in your life, they are silenced in the name of Jesus. Intimidation will never make men amount to much. Goliath knew what he was doing. Bible says he will come out every day and shout, give me a man. So when you say, give me a man, what will everybody do? You see Goliath, he said, give me a man. He said, okurin ni e sugbon emi. No, emi okurin, iwo okurin meta atabo. No, if you are looking for okurin meta atabo, that's Goliath. Goliath lost one. Because it wasn't normal. So there are some people too that will do something that are not normal in your organizations where you find yourself. They will do things and as though, see, whatever capacity they have, by the Holy Ghost you can do it and you can do it much more better. See, let us not limit the Holy Spirit as though he cannot come and intervene into our workspace and bring about insights, bring about ideas that can change things and turn things around for us. He can do it. He can give you the next big breakthrough. But if you pay attention to the voice of intimidation, I'm telling you, you will not go far. When we got into this city, one of the narratives is that people in this city, people don't make money. There are no business. That is the voice. But after a while, I started believing that statement that there's no much money in Ogbomoso. But after a while, I said, wait, there's no much money. All these cars, is it imported or they only came to visit or something? These houses, these businesses, as crazy as they said it was, people were in the city that were making their millions consistently. No. Those are voices of intimidation that will suppress the steps you are supposed to take. How do you confront this so I can move fast? How do you overcome this? You must go and confront your Goliath. So if the target they gave you is 5 million, you to say, my own target to this month is 6 million. And pursue it like your life depends on it. Because you see, you must know that if you remain on a spot, you will never leave that spot. But the moment you take a step from that spot, you are no longer in the place where you used to be. The important thing is that you are making progress. One day, if you keep making that progress, you will eventually surmount that target. But what Goliath was doing was to keep the Israelites grounded at that point. The moment he kept shouting, he knows that if he kept shouting every day, they won't come out. That was why it was when David came, he had not been listening to the voice of intimidation. Because you see, if you listen to intimidation for too long, one day you will not even take any step at all again. David came and he just heard the guy making statements, say, who is this one? The reason he was able to make that statement was because he had not been hearing intimidation over the long time. You know, say that Goliath will wake up every morning. Shesheni. Was it work? Every morning he will wake up and it was strategic. So every month you come into the office and then you see the guy, employee of the month, they will give it to him. Every month, employee of the month, they give it to him. And then when you wake up, you say, I see my phone on the mic, and you are in that office. The reason is because you have listened so much to the voice of intimidation that you have thought that you too cannot collect it. That's why that statement will come out of your mouth. Atimakonolumagba, best in class. Iwanka. You must not let the voice of intimidation enter you. Once you find out it's coming to you repetitively, you have to go and confront your Goliath. Give yourself the same target. Whatever they can do, you too can do it. Even if you don't win, you have left that same spot. You are not making progress. One day, you will overcome. Number three. Let's continue reading down from that place. Verse 9. It says, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then he shall be our servant and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, very pitiful. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Something just came to my mind now. I hope you know that the terms of engagement was not determined by the Israelites. The terms of engagement was determined by the Philistines. They were the one, and not the Bible, but they used to say that he who plays the piper, what does he do? He dictates the tune. That was not how they should normally fight. But suddenly they woke up one day because they knew that they had a secret weapon. And then he showed up. Give me a man. How come it was the Eden that was dictating how the people of God will fight their battles? That's the way we allow other people to dictate how we do things for us. If they bring the strategy of this how to do, you too can go back and bring about the strategy that God gives you to work for you. And they were all there. Give us a man. And they were all there. When that lasted for a while, the Bible said that Saul, first the king, and all Israel were dismayed by what. See, if we allow people to keep dictating the way we live our lives, I'm telling you, we will not make progress. You will not make progress. If the strategy, if they say, go out and go and find people, and then the strategy is that you would just always walk around the road. Okay, I don't know why I'm going marketing today, but probably because I worked in the bank. That's how we used to do our own target. How many accounts you can bring, how much millions you can bring. That's the closest. But if the strategy is that you will keep walking along the road, yeah, Ewashi account to 500,000, 200,000, and that's how you meet the account. And that's how everybody does it. Does that mean that is the way you have to do your own to meet your own target? It can only just be one man that the Lord will send you to. And they will find out that everybody goes out 20 days a week. You only just go out 3 times in a month. And your target is met. Because their strategy doesn't have to be your own strategy. Don't let them dictate your mode of operation. God can give you a new way of doing something that will bring great results with minimal effort. That's why we belong to God. That's why we're children of God. So the number three there is fear.
when all Israel, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The goal of the enemy is to implant fear in the heart of people. What are these fear? The fear of defeat. What if I try this and it does not work? What if they defeat me after this? What if I confront this guy and I try to also meet this? What if I fail? Well, if you fail, at least you have made progress. The fear of loss. For some people, it is the fear of success. They can't even fathom the fact that they will win. They don't know how they will react if they win. So they would rather not win than to be in that embarrassed. I like to be embarrassed by success. You don't like that kind of embarrassment. I like to be embarrassed by success. So like, like it though. But how do you overcome this? So I can cover the other side. How do you overcome this? You must develop a consciousness of your identity. You must develop a consciousness of your identity. That place I told you to underline. Now go back to it. And I'll show you the discrepancy when David came on the scene. Look at that verse 8. He said, am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Look at what he reduced them to. Are you not the servants of Saul? So in their mind, they could not do anything greater than what Saul was thinking. So when God was shouting, the Bible says, even Saul himself was greatly dismayed. What do you expect? So he reduced them to the size of their leader. And their leader was already afraid. Automatically everybody will be afraid. But the moment you find out that fear is coming into your life, 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The moment you find that fear, no, it is not from God. No, it is not from God. For the Lord has not given, he didn't give it. Where did it come from? He didn't give it. Where did this spirit of fear, where did it come from? For the Lord has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The righteous shall be bold as a lion. Fear is a tool of the enemy that keeps men on the same spot. You will not make progress carrying fear. You won't make progress carrying fear. So my challenge to us is, go and do whatever you think that you need to do. If you fail, you have made an attempt. But I can guarantee you, failure is not part of what is in your DNA. It's not part of what's in your DNA. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. So the what God implanted in my DNA is good. Evil was not part. What God planted in my DNA is success. Failure is not part. Where did this one that I'm failing constantly, where did it come from? You must confront it. As I said, you must develop a healthy consciousness, a healthy mindset about who you are. Go back and check again. This is who I am. I am. Fear is not part of. Where did this one come from? Anytime you see fear, I say again, the enemy sponsored it. The enemy sponsored it. Entering the new order. How do you enter this new order? I also take 3 points on this and then I close. Entering the new order. So let's go to verse 24 of the same scripture. Verse 24. Okay, let's start from verse 22. From verse 22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them.
and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were deathly afraid again. Kilo today. Goliath, you know, Nisha. See, in entering a new order, there are Goliath you will need to confront. God sent me to tell you today. There are Goliath you will need to confront. This new order is not just by we are entering a new order. A new order is that you will first take out whoever is the one commanding the old order. Then you now say, okay, a new king has arrived. That's how this new order takes place. So I said, they all fled and were deathly afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house his exemption from taxes in Israel. My question, is that not enough motivation for at least one person to say, oh, Mbaku, Moku, Timbaye, Modolowo, Abi? That was how much fear had written into their heart. Exemption from taxes, you become wealthy, you will marry the king's daughter. He just wants. And by the way, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Love is. But you see, with all the incentives, nobody could stand up. When they saw him, they fled. That's the way some of us back out the moment we see the Goliath that is facing us in the things that we are supposed to go and overcome. That's the way we flee. Come on, so come in a meeting today. Everybody is not speaking up. He said not to speak up too. The old order is still reigning. You must bring a new quality. There must be that boldness to confront that old order. So what are the things that we must do to enter into the new order? Verse 26, let's read from there and then we draw it out from verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of who? Of the living God. Pause. When Goliath was speaking, what did he call the children of Israel? The servant of Saul. When David came, he did not compare Saul, he didn't compare Goliath to the armies of Israel. He compared Goliath to the armies of the living God. Tell me, who can fight against the Lord and win? Know who to compare your problems with. Know who to confront your challenges with. That's the problem. We keep looking at our challenges and then we compare. Probably it's a sickness, and you compare it to the best of the medical doctors that we have. How much they can treat you. Whereas there is a God that is higher and above them all. Say, who is this one that is to defy the armies of the living God? When they bring it low, you take them high. Goliath brought it low. David took it high. I'm not saying if all of them are servants of Saul. You see this me? I'm a warrior in the army of the living God. I'm a warrior there. David changed the dynamics of the game. If they are meeting targets more than you, your father holds the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He can bring your own loss to you too. Change the dynamics. But that's not where I'm going. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Can you see intimidation coming back again? And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. Look at the response of David. That's where I'm going. For the first point of entering a new order. Yes. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause?
The first reason, or the first way to enter into your new order, is that you must be kingdom minded. You must be kingdom minded. The kingdom of God must be upon your heart. You must be kingdom minded. They told David, why are you trying to even fight this battle? I mean, what's your problem? Go back and take care of the sheep. David says, you just leave me like this. I can't stand here and somebody's abusing God this way and I will be quiet. See, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why I'm speaking up? Everybody here is remaining quiet. See, this is the way the new order comes. That somebody will come and defy the odds, will go against the status quo. That is how new orders are being brought to pass. You don't stand out by blending in. You don't. If they are going and say, Goliath, Otobi, Oga, Onige, Onishield, do you think he will go and fight? No, he won't. That's how men come into new order. He brought a new game. I am small, but I can defeat a mighty man. You must be kingdom minded. You must be willing that in your organization, I am willing to make the name of the Lord great. I am going to lift his banner so high that all men will see kingdom is on your mind. The reason that God doesn't give us so much things, because he knows that sometimes when he gives us some things, it will be lavished on our own appetite. But when David got there, David was like, kill a machine for no. They say wife. Same. Leave wife. Say rich. Say leave. Say taxes. Say leave taxes. No. Why is this one defying the armies of the living God? That was all that was on his mind. He said, nobody can be abusing God this way and then I will be quiet. Size was not a matter. He was kingdom minded. I am employing everyone that you are living here from today. If God, it doesn't take God to bring you to a new earth. It doesn't cost him anything. You are saying, God lift me. What will you do for God when you enter the? I mean, I think I was the apostle, something that was saying, I think it was saying on Friday or Saturday or so, that if God gives you the money, to what end? To what end? When you buy all the houses and all the cars, to what end? I heard a story about Fela Durotoye. Very great man. There was this guy that was always in there, I think they were staying in Banana Island or one of these very, very big cities in Lagos on the island. And there was this guy that whenever he's driving in an estate, he will turn up the music very loud. He will wind down the glass and they'll be doing gigging bam bam, gigging bam bam. And then everybody had tried to talk to him. Nobody was listening. Say, how can you be blasting music like this? And the guy was driving a Range Rover, I think. Then it was probably, I think I heard that story, probably 2022. Was driving a Range Rover 2022. I mean, later. So when you see the car, even you gonna be intimidated. Back, Emi gomi oti ra Range Rover. She man osope to ra Range Rover. Come and play music money. You don't have the mouth to say it. The guy kept doing it over and over. Oh, ni mouth was okay. Then ni mouth come out there anymore. So this guy kept doing it. And then one day, Pelado, they said, what's the meaning of all this? Then he took his phone and then called all his friends. Called all his friends who had the latest cars. They had to bring their car. Then he put megaphone there. And then some of them sat on the booths. That guy was in 2022. They now bought one of them that had the 2023 version. Or whatever version it was. Now brought that one. They were now using the same car he was using to do Bugatti. They were now using to do evangelism. Or if you quit tracks, give it up to Jesus Christ. So the guy, if he comes out to brag, he would have him brag on evangelism. It will be easy that God will see somebody with such a kingdom mind and say, This one, when I give him this thing, I know it's to the end that the kingdom will be glorified. I know that if I give him, God's mandate will not suffer. The glory of God will be advanced. By this one, God will bring you into things like that easily, cheaply, if you know that you are kingdom minded with whatever resources he gives to you. God can give you the heart of your boss. God can put the resources in your hands. If God can trust you, that whatever he gives to you, the kingdom will definitely benefit from it if he gives it to you. It takes God nothing. How long did it take God for leave Joseph out of the prison and put him in charge in Egypt?
because they are quick 24 hours. But you know that if Joseph is there, Israel will be preserved. Israel will be preserved. What will God enjoy as a reason that you have come into the new order and he made you the champion in that area? What will God benefit? What does God stand to get? What does he stand to get? God is looking for such men. Kingdom mindedness. You have been applying for your visa. If I allow it to go through now, what do I stand to get when you get to that nation? How many souls will you be blessed? How many people can I entrust you with? How many can I entrust you with? Because for Smaduka, still does evangelism to today. No matter how God lifts me, he said, I will still go out to the marketplace and still carry my megaphone on my shoulder and I will still preach the gospel over and over again. When I was a young boy, nobody knew me. I still did that. Now that I'm so big, doesn't mean that I will not still honor my God. The kingdom must still be advanced. This is why God will give men wealth. This is why God will give men wealth. This is why God will give men influence. Because the kingdom is at stake. Imagine if David didn't come to that battle. Goliath will end up thinking he's the champion. Israel will be in bondage. God was looking for one man that had a kingdom mindset. Did you know that after David won that battle, David didn't go back to ask for the wife? He didn't go back to ask for riches and wealth. Because that was not the agenda. The agenda, the kingdom of God must not suffer while I'm alive. See, don't be that believe that wherever where you are there, things are going wrong and then you are quiet. God needs men in different places. So if you're going to bring a new order, you must be ready to confront things that hold for the new to come in. The old garment cannot be sewn together with the new one. He said, the rents will be made worse. It will tear because you try to match them together. He said, first you must do away with the old, then the new can come in. I'm telling you, if wherever you are going to bring in a new order, if you don't confront the old, I say it again, the new will not show. What is your own cause? If you have to make a decision now, what is your own cause? What is your own cause? Why should God trust you with a new order? Why should God trust you with new influence? Why should God trust you with new wealth? Why? Why? David said, is there not a cause? There's a reason why now. I want you to decide what will be your own cause so that God can trust you indeed with this new order. What's your own cause? We read further, verse 27. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, oh, sorry, I'm reading from behind. Verse 30. Said, then he turned from him toward another, and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Verse 2. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose and arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Number two on that part is courage. Courage. I've talked about that in Intimidation and Fear. Just dare to take that next step. Why am I hearing this one? Go and propose. I'm serious, so I won't tell you what I did not hear. It's not even in my note. I said, go and propose. What the hell, Colonel Sina? If you knew that, you want to marry. I'm telling somebody,
don't believe me. Marry first and you come and say pastor, something. Thank you.
That's why your own new order is.
Why people look at yourselves?
Propose, get married.
And I got it, it doesn't concern you, eh? This is not talking.
Take the next step, be courageous. At least attempt. If you are afraid, remember what God has done for you before. The way David remembered how he killed the lion and he killed the bear and then bring it to remembrance. I can do it again. I can do it again. Go with courage. Apply for that job with courage. Don't let that is not in your level. At least try. If they discount you, don't worry. You try again. Apply for that contract. Do what you do at the best of which you can do it. But then don't be intimidated because of other people's portfolio. You to try. They didn't jump on the mountain. They climbed the mountain. You to try. Try. It takes courage to be great. It takes courage to do great things. It takes courage to be known. Let me tell you, it takes courage to fail. Oh, you don't believe me? When you see somebody who is about to fail, you think they are always at rest. Ah, must they fail? No, there's a way. Exam umbo. Oh, see, kawe. It takes courage. Koma kawe. Courage. You don't say amor. You don't know? The courage that person has, it took him courage. Because he got to my shell, his courage. So, which one would you rather use your own courage for? It takes courage to be broke. Yes. To know that your children will suffer later and yet you didn't do anything about your finances. Oh, I'm telling you. It takes courage. So, what exactly does one need courage? You are broke. You stay broke. You are still planning broke. It takes courage. So all of those people, if Goliath, anybody that came out and then Goliath defeated the person, what did the Philistines will do? It is the same thing that the Israelites did to the Philistines that they will do back to them too. Because immediately they killed Goliath, so what did the men do? They pursued them and killed them. So you will still die to die. Why not go die to die? At the end of the day, you can win. Take that bold step of courage. Start that business. Gather those people and preach to them. God is sending you on that mandate. There is a reason you need to take that step. But be courageous. Joshua was already intimidated by the result of Moses. Moses, the man of God, parted the Red Sea, brought water from the rock. Some of them are saying, now, Moses, go and take over. I say, Lord, what are you? Moses, you did not give me a rod now. You don't need rod. You already have a sword. See, look at what you have. David didn't collect the sword. What did he collect? Stones. Your own stones is as great as the sword. No, use what you have and know how to use it well. But don't keep it in your pocket. Apply the pressure. Apply the pressure. Let them know that you took a step. Apply the pressure, sir. Do it. Somebody's been infused with courage this morning. Somebody's being injected with courage this morning. And what you have not done before, the Lord gives you grace to go ahead and do it. In the name of Jesus. Courage. You are but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. He said, don't worry. The same way God helped me to kill those ones, I will kill these ones too like that. Courage. Start that business. Put your signboard outside. Invest. Whatever it is that you are feeling afraid about, take your step and go and do it. Let me round up here. Number three. And this is a very crucial point. Number three. Create your realities. And I'll explain. This is very crucial. We can't miss this point in the story of David in bringing a new order in Israel. Everybody was against the order except David.
create your own realities. Let's quickly rush to verse 42. Verse 42. We'll read from there. And when David looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Shajanimini. I have to say that in Yoruba, it will be sweet that way. That you came to me with sticks. You know, Yoruba makes it sweet. Emile Yogiti. Shajanimini. That was how insulted Goliath felt. That's the way they want to make you apologize for you trying to take a big step. They want to make you apologize. To say, am I Benusa? Me, Mugato, me, Toyi. That what could have happened. Am I a dog? And if that caused David by his gods, he shouldn't have done that. Wrong move, wrong move, wrong move. Your enemies will make mistakes. I said they will make mistakes. Wrong move. Say, he caused, how can you cause God and, the Bible said, you cause God and do what? Die. That's what they advised Job to do. He said, cause God, how can you cause God? David, Goliath was not causing David by his gods. Wrong. Your enemies will make mistake again. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh the best of the earth and the beast of the field. But here, David, I love this, a master stroke. Let me say this before I continue. When the enemy is speaking, don't be quiet. When the enemy or the voice of intimidation or the voice of fear is speaking, never be quiet. When you remain quiet, you are giving them the upper hand. When Goliath finished saying his own, David didn't say, don't worry, you will see the end. I believe in my heart. He didn't keep quiet. He responded. Look at David's response. A master stroke. Then David said to the Philistine, I need somebody who is... This is why I come. I need to show you this picture. Who do I want to use? I need somebody picanto. I want a male. Judah was over dramatized it. This young man here on purple, please come. Yes, you, please come. Let's celebrate him. No. Can you see the way is looking at him like? That was the picture. So, imagine the battle between this one and this one. He can't even look at DY. He can't. And by the way, Goliath is way, way bigger. But DY is shouting. It is not shouting. Oh, you're getting me? My belly, you know. I'm telling you what happened. Oh, so you're a bad boy. That's what he said. No, that was what he said. He said, Emilio Yogiti. Shaja Nimini. Esa. Jesus. Never be quiet in the face of adversary. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in them. Don't be intimidated by size. Be intimidated by in whom you are. That's it. That's why I said there must be a rewiring of your consciousness. A new order is coming. It is not by size. This one is by who you know. And by who is with you. So, he was shouting. This one was responding. There are results to be shouting. Don't keep quiet. You are able to overcome the mountain too. So, David stood there. And please put it on the screen for me. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. Three things were with David. But look at David's response. He says, but I come to you with what? David was lying. What David hold? How come he came in the name of the Lord? He should have not held the stone. But you see, what am I trying to say? Is that what you have is enough. It's enough. It's you that is calling it small. God calls it great.
David is saying, I come against you with my own stone because you came with me, it's javelin and spear and sword. Say, I come against you in the name of the Lord. That is who you are going with anytime. Let that be in your consciousness as a man who is going on a mission to bring a new order. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Verse 46. I'm trying to show you something. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will strike you and I will take your head from you. David did not have a sword in his hand. He didn't carry a javelin or a spear. But he was telling him what he was going to do. What gave David the assurance that this thing will happen? Where did the assurance come from? I will cut off your head. And he was holding a stone. See, never underestimate the power that God has placed on your tongue. Never underestimate it. James chapter 2 says it. Says that the tongue is a member of the body that is powerful. He said it can set a whole forest on fire. It can turn a ship in whatever direction. So as Goliath was trying to impose his own reality, David was creating a new reality by his words. That's why when you are afraid, you can't be quiet. When you are feeling intimidated, you can't be quiet. When things are going wrong, you can't be quiet. The goal of the enemy is to keep you quiet in circumstances. You can never remain quiet. Somebody say, I refuse to be quiet. This one is for somebody because I just saw a picture of somebody oppressed now. And all that is left for you to come out is your voice. Is to speak up against the status quo. I will not be quiet. You can't be quiet in the face of adversity. You don't lose anything by speaking, but you lose everything by not speaking. It's not for you to fulfill what you are saying. It's for God to back up your words. Don't be afraid to speak because God can back up his words. You don't be afraid to speak. David was responding, I will cut off your head. What audacity. And so what happened later on? It says, I will give the carcass of the camp to the Philistines of the birds of the air and the wives of the earth, that all earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Not all earth will know that I am a powerful man. There was a curse. The next verse, and then we ran up. It says, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the spear, with the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give into our hands. Verse 48. That's where the battle came. So it was when the Philistine arose and came near and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran towards the Philistine to meet the Philistine. Verse 49. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Verse 50, the last one. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand. The same thing he said he will do was what he did. I will prevail over you. But he didn't have a sword. But look at the beautiful part. This part is in verse 51. The sword he did not have suddenly appeared. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his own sword that Goliath brought to kill him. That same thing he said he will do. He removed the sword and then cut off the head of Goliath. How did that reality happen? By the things he spoke ahead. He was creating the reality he wanted to say. Please return back to your seat. Thank you. As I remember this message, God says to tell us that, you see, we must bring about the two dimensions that we have. The king and the priest dimension. All David did in that field did not start from there. What David did on that field was as a result of what has happened in the secret place. He had done his priestly role so well that by the time he came out to become a king, everything he was saying became a decree. In the secret place, you make supplication. In the public place, you make legislations. You decree a thing and it will be established, but the power is supplied from the secret place. Remember, there was a man after God's heart. The Bible called him a worshiper, a man that always loved to be in the presence of the Lord. His priesthood was strong. Don't go there shouting at Goliath if you have not met with God in the secret place. In bringing a new order, that's the last thing God told me to tell you, is that make sure your priesthood is strong and your kingship is not silent. Make sure your priesthood is strong and your kingship is not silent. The priesthood is what powers the kingship. So you go into the priesthood, to the place of prayer, you will legislate, you will supplicate, you will pray, you will receive power from God. When you come to the public, you will say things as though they are normal, but then it's backed up by a altar that is strong. This is God's word to us today in bringing us into a new order. We can't bring a new order by any other way. We can't bring a new order by any other way. In just a moment, just pray. Father, I receive grace to enter this new order. I receive grace to enter this new order. I receive grace to enter this new order. And I receive grace. For somebody here, the old order is still at work in your life. Lord, every voice of intimidation, I silence them. I silence them. Every voice of fear, I silence you today in the name of Jesus. Somebody, we need to speak out voraciously and audaciously and silence the voice of fear and intimidation. You have been trying to come out, but then you are already intimidated. Lord, I enter into a new order. I silence imitation. For somebody, you have been complacent. Father, give me a vision bigger. A vision bigger. I am only seeing what I have done in the past. I can't see a bigger future. Lord, open my mind that I may see, that I may behold. Open my eyes. Make the vision bigger. For somebody here, I receive courage. I receive courage. To say exactly what you receive courage to do right now. Lord, I receive courage to take this step. I receive courage to apply for that scholarship. I receive courage. I receive courage. I receive courage to start that business. I receive courage to propose. I receive courage to speak to that lady. I receive courage to quit my job and go and start that business. For somebody here, you're an entrepreneur by heart, but then you are stuck in a job and God is saying no, there is so much more to you, and you are saying no for safety reasons. And God is saying it's time for you to break out of the normal. Your business will be better than that business. Somebody receive courage. Somebody receive courage today. Somebody receive courage today. That person that you are here and then you have been silenced by the voice and then you are not able to speak up, in the name of Jesus, your voice opens up. Your focal course open up and then you speak as a king that you are today. You speak as a king that you are. I receive grace to enter the new order. I break out of the old order. I close the chapter of the old order. I enter into the new order. Somebody receive grace this morning. Somebody receive grace this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this is your word for us this morning. And we do not take it for granted. We thank you because we know you have come for us again to bring enlightenment into our spirit. This past 1 week, you've been speaking to us about a new order. We are asking, dear Father, that as we go from today, our lives are shifting to new dimensions. We are asking, dear Lord, that you would engrace us with boldness unusual. You will clothe us with grace unlimited. You will equip us with all that we need as we go, Lord, into the field, into these mountains to conquer under mountains. Lord, we ask that you will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. David said, blessed be the Lord my God, who teacheth my arms to war and my fingers to fight. Lord, we know that the new order is not one that is gotten softly because we know that the enemy will contend. But Father, as we enter into this territory, teach our hands to war. Teach our fingers to fight. We enter into the victory that you have possessed for us. And we declare boldly that we are overcomers.
We declare boldly that we are more than conquerors. We declare boldly that we are victorious already. We thank you because of what you have done. We say you take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.